So the proper halachos of December 25th, the night that's called by many Nittel Nacht, as everybody knows. I didn't know about this till fairly recently. But there's an old Jewish custom, which we're going to discuss tonight, to refrain from learning Torah on the night of the 25th of December. Now, some people are very, very strict about this law, and they don't learn ever. I've spoken to some very important, I wasn't going to say who, very big, very machmir Jews, that they're always afraid that the night may be the December 25th. Maybe he was born at some point. There's different views on when he was born, and therefore. But it's a very strange practice. Rabbi Lawrence Kalman has a shiur on the 25th of December and January 1st, New Year's, the 7 days, and there he cites a lot of historic evidence for the fact that the holiday has a lot of pagan roots. What Christians did is, I'm not an expert here, but this is what he says. That Christians wanted to get their religion popular within the pagan groups, so they would make days that were already significant for them into their holidays. And historically, the New Year's time, which was 7 days after the 25th of December, was a day which Jews really not only had no place to celebrate, but were actually persecuted. And he goes on to say that it's completely absurd for Jews today to celebrate New Year's in light of the fact that they were persecuted for hundreds of years on that day. It was a day of parties, it was a day of drunkenness, it was a day of, let's beat up the Jews. Mm-hmm. And that's just, besides for all the arguments of just a waste of time, and I've seen the ball drop, I have to admit, it's really not so exciting. I don't know what the point of it is. But if you want an excuse to get drunk, I hear. But we gave that share a different time about bars and drinking and all that. But besides for that, it's really a day which is not a Jewish day. And we really celebrate a New Year's very differently than that. But that's really kind of a side point. The main thing I want to discuss with you tonight is this strange custom which I had never heard of. Called Nittel Nacht. And what does the word even mean? And where does it come from? And should we be doing this? Should we follow Harav Seth's practice of always being concerned for Nittel Nacht? Well, you're learning tonight, so it can't be that. You're not so from.
It's only a bidyevet.
It's a bidyevet. It's a bidyevet. I hear. So, this is a big Rabbi Arya Leibowitz week. Last night we did a Rabbi Arya Leibowitz piece on the Rabashkin release party, and tonight we're going to be doing a piece he wrote. It's on Wayu Torah on Nittel Nacht. A lot of his information he writes there, it comes from the Nittai Gavriel, Rav Gavriel Sinner, and also from a sefer called Sefer Moadim L'Simcha by Rav Tuvia Freund. Many Jews have a custom not to learn Torah on the night preceding December 25th. Again, it's the eve of December 25th. And some take advantage of this time, and they rip the toilet paper for the entire year, for Shabbat, meaning they rip the Shabbos toilet paper for the whole year.
Of the agalata that he's is driving?
I don't know if that's really true. I just heard rumors about that.
Well, because they want to prepare the Shabbos. So they don't waste time.
We don't have to waste any other Fridays. Only once a year they rip the toilet paper.
That he's in Gehenna boiling in a pit of feces for all eternity.
What does that have to... Ooh, interesting. I don't think it's related to that.
This is more of a newer thing for carrying toilet paper, because toilet paper, this incarnation is a new kind of thing. They didn't have it. So
yeah, it can't be such an old minhag because no one had toilet paper. They used to use rocks.
Yep.
Not to get too graphic on you, but either way, I just heard this as a rumor. While this custom is certainly prevalent in certain circles for centuries, there are few records and few details of this of the origin of this custom. Rabbi Leibowitz claims the dearth of information and sources on this topic can probably be attributed to Christian censors who not allow anything that can be construed as anti-Christian to be published. This seems to be certainly an anti-Christian practice. The records of this custom that have been made that have made it through the centuries are sparse. And he collects some of the sources on the practice. What does the word nittel even mean? Nacht is in Yiddish means night. In German, oftentimes the GH in English is represented as a ch sound. So like light is licht in Yiddish. Also German.
Also in Dutch.
Nacht. In Dutch also. Yeah, a lot of the English is a conglomeration of a lot of different languages, but yeah, so Nacht is night. But what is Nittel? So there's different options. The B'nai Yisachar says that Jesus was taken, Natal, he was taken from this world. That's why they call it Nittel. The Mo'adim L'Simcha suggests that he was hung, and we don't want to refer to him by his name. So we call him Nitla, the one who was hung. Mo'adim L'Simcha quotes another interesting idea that Nitla is actually from the Latin word for birthday, which is an obvious reference to Jesus' birth. It's clearly, again, Christian scholars talk about this, it's not my opinion, but they talk about how he really wasn't born on the 25th. There's a big debate about this. And Seth is very machmir to make sure that he's machmir, not to learn. So what are the explanations offered for not learning? So some say that a Kabbalistic explanation that we don't want to help the Torah to you know, mix around with these klipos, these negative spiritual vibes in the air, and therefore we don't learn. I don't really know what that means. Rabbi Leibowitz says this is beyond the ability of this author to understand, and therefore we will offer other explanations. Yes, Shai.
According to that explanation, how come you're allowed to learn on Hitler's birthday or Hitler's death day?
I mean, Tomas Torquemada. It's not necessarily a religious celebration. It's a day which is, I don't know, maybe the neo-Nazis like party on that day. I don't know. But it's not like a religious ceremony.
Wait, so...
The argument is because the day is signifies negative spiritual forces, that our Torah learning, which is very powerful, will be strengthening those spiritual vibes.
So they're saying that Christmas actually has spiritual power?
So, I mean, it doesn't have... everything in this world has power. The question, you know, it's not like... thousands of people... I don't even know what the numbers are, but that's definitely not true. Millions of people in this world, I assume maybe even billions, are Christian. So there certainly is a power to what they're doing. I don't think it's a, you know, I don't know. Again, I think that people who are
only
religious,
Christmas.
We discussed this actually maybe even last year, the status of Christians in Halakha,
yeah.
And we discussed if it's a Avodah Zarah. So even if you want to say that it's not a Avodah Zarah, it's a powerful force, and according to these Kabbalistic sources, we don't want to give strength to those forces.
Somebody who makes a tree in Avodah Zarah, and somebody makes challah and it's mixed up at $200, and you're not allowed to eat that. That's a power.
Right. That's true.
That's a power for making just thinking a tree is.
Right. Right. Yeah. So
I don't
maybe
think that tree is Avodah Zarah, but the fact that they worship a human being.
Right. I heard a joke once. It's more of a Jewish joke, but there was a guy who he had enough with his Jewish background. He decided enough with learning, enough with Torah. I'm becoming Christian. So he threw everything away, and it came around Christmas time, and he's like, you know what, I'm a non-Jew. I better go into the store and get some Christmas trees. So he walks into the store. You've heard this before? It's a famous joke. So if you haven't heard it, maybe you'll find it funny. If you have, so he goes in there, and he goes up to the stand, and he says, I want to buy a Christmas tree. So they say, great. So he says, how many of these do I hang it up? How many days do I keep it up? They say, however much you want. He says, how many lights do I hang on it? They're like, whatever you want. He's like, well, how tall does it have to be? They're like, you're not a Christian. What is this? And he's like, I must have picked the wrong religion. So, the point of the story is that we Jews look at things very systematically. Why did I get onto that? Oh, because the spiritual forces, different religion. I don't know. I don't really understand it personally, but it doesn't make a difference. There are people who say this. I guess you would say more prominent or more easily understood explanations are two of the following explanations. One is that the earlier generations, when any Jews were found on the street, they would have been attacked. So the any Jewish home that had a candle lit inside would also be at risk. And therefore the rabbis made a decree, we're not going to learn at all to prevent risk of pogroms or anti-Semitism or attacks. The Harbin Nisanel explains this custom as a form of mourning, that the birth of Jesus is mourned by the Jewish people, and therefore, just like on Tisha B'Av or other times of mourning, we don't learn Torah because Torah excites us, it makes us happy. We don't learn on the 25th of December. Source number two is the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer cites this explanation in the name of his esteemed teacher of Nassim Adler, and he actually disagrees with this practice. He says, people have told me, or I've heard about this, that the reason is that you mourn. He says, Hagam gis yesh se'asa l'zeh minhag olam. It seems like this is the practice, that people don't learn on the night of the 25th. Sha'asurim gam tashmish v'sogrim shari tevila. That they not only did they not learn, but they don't open the mikvah on that night, and they forbid the act of relations with a man and a woman. And he says, that's l'dati minak shtosihu. I don't understand it. It's ridiculous. You have to protest against people who do such a thing.
Are you talking about everything?
It seems like he's saying here is the issue of marital relations. He thinks that prohibiting marital relations on that night, even though it would seem like it would fit with the idea of mourning, that just like when you're mourning, you don't have marital relations, he thinks that that's ridiculous.
But he's not talking about Torah.
No. And he says, why? To ilu l'tam, if this is true, avinu morinu v'rabinu nira yikdash, or something like that, it's referring to his Rebbe. Kasha, it doesn't make sense. Difficult. We know that the practice is only up until midnight do we not learn Torah, but after midnight, and after the heter of learning and for being with one's wife is mutter. So he says, I don't understand. When did the rabbis ever make such a time that up until chatzos this is asur, and then after chatzos is mutter? We never have such a case. Doesn't make any sense. He says, Ava nirali, but it appears to me, Efshir nogu kadmoninu, Cain, that it is in fact, this practice has been established by our previous generations. Why? Mishum shalolitin makum le bald varim, lichlok, ulesatun lekadj. Oh, sorry. I'm not sure what Bezai and Dalit, bald varim. I guess it means like someone who has a taina against us. Anyone who has a prosecutor, someone who has claims against the Jewish people, and the sotan lekatrig. Katrig is to have some sort of prosecution against us. Biyos boso alayla at that night. This is a fascinating explanation. The Chasam Sofer says that night kol amim noadim bebeis el Elohim. They would all go to church. Michatos ve'ilch yadua. They would all go from midnight and on. They were very. This was a thing. I think I was driving back. I think I was dating my wife or something, and I picked her up. This is when we were dating. I picked her up in the Heights. I dropped her off. It was like 11:40 or something like that, or maybe it was 12-ish. I saw hundreds of people packing. It happened to be December the night of this of Christmas, and there was like hundreds of people coming to church. I think what's it called? Mass?
McGillery.
I don't know what they have. I forgot what it's called. It's something just mass. It's called mass. So the Yechazim Sofer back in the 1800s. The 1800s. He says they had this big thing that they would all go to the shuls. We'll have deal. So he says, "V'am Hashem ilu yishenim amitoseim." Let's say the Jews were sleeping on their beds at the time. Afilu lom de Torah rubim kekulam neurim techilas alayla. Even if they would stay up to learn, but at the beginning of the night they would go to sleep. They would learn at the beginning of the night, but then they would go to sleep after midnight. So the Chasam Sofer suggests the reasoning for the minhag was the log ratzu l'gzor shiyu kol yisro omdim hash. Hashkeim michatus ve'ilech, but also Lila ki'ilu anu negrarim achar chuku sehen. But the rabbis had a problem. We don't want we had this maybe a couple of weeks ago that the Jews, we said this from the Sefer Chassidim, right? When it came to voting for a candidate who was anti Torah, and the evangelical Christians were all, hey, we can't support someone who's pro gay marriage. So we talked about how we can't appear to be less religious than non Jews. Fascinating idea. Remember that? So here he's saying the same thing. The rabbis, they're all very shtark, and the Christians are all getting up, you know, to daven and to whatever they're doing, to read Megillah, as Philip suggested. I don't know what they're doing, but whatever they're doing religious things, right? So we can't look any worse than them, right? We can't seem any worse than them. The problem is that we don't want them, we don't want to appear that we're observing the holiday either, right? We don't want to be, oh, everyone's going to get up, and we're all going to do what? Celebrate Christmas Eve. That's pas nish. That's not Jewish. That's Christian. So what do we do? So the rabbis then, what he said was, they made a compromise. They said that they should not learn Torah. They should not be sleeping at the time that everyone's heading out to the churches, because that would look bad if they were sleeping. But they didn't want to institute a rule they should wake up and turn and learn Torah when they at Chatzos. So the solution was they would make a decree against Torah learning the first half of the night, and that would be that people who normally learned during the first half of the night would then sleep, and then they would wake up at midnight in order to do the regular learning Torah portion for the evening. And then Jews who would not generally learn, they would stay up and do other things as opposed to being sleeping during the time that the Christians are all doing religious practices. Yes, Jason.
So if you normally learn and stuff, and now you're doing something different because it's Christmas or Christmas Eve, aren't you in a way, I guess, like following the holiday, or at least acknowledging?
So they're sleeping. They're sleeping during the time that nobody's doing anything. Then at Chatzos, that's the mass. Mass happens at midnight. Midnight mass. So they're at the time of midnight. They are going to do their daily portion of learning. So then the assumption would be that the Jews that would not be learning, they would just wake up during that time, but they wouldn't be doing anything religious. They would just be tearing their toilet paper, or they were doing other things.
Why didn't they exist in the first place?
What do you mean?
Why institute something in the first place? Why not?
So there were multiple explanations, but the Chasam Sofer is suggesting that we can't look any less religious than non-Jews. You could argue, what do you mean? This is, I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm going to take the approach of the persecution, that we wanted to stay away from the that could be, again, who am I to say, but that appears to be the most appealing to me. Very good. So we're going to see it. That's the third source. Moshe Sternbach says that. Yeah.
You're just acknowledging the holiday by changing anything about you.
Right. So Jason says, I don't like this explanation because I feel that you're giving significance to it. I hear. Listen, this is the Chasam Sofer suggestion. We're all working backwards. We have this practice. It seems very strange. We know that learning Torah is one of our highest occupations, and now we're just not doing it on a non-Jewish holiday. It's seemingly crazy. So we're all working back. We're trying to figure out why that was so. So I think the most logical explanation, again, to me, that I seem to see from here, was that of the who was it? It was the the Taimei HaMinhagim, who cites the Lukutia Pardes, that they wanted to stay out of the public eye because they would have been attacked.
So we're gonna do that on Halloween, no?
Right, Halloween, right here. Because
Easter is
it depends on where you were and what time. But I think this was generally this period from the 25th to the 1st of January was a time that even in the pagan days was really not a great time for the Jews. It was always considered a dangerous time.
Wasn't it also really dangerous around Easter time because that's when they had the Passion plays?
I don't know.
Isn't it not a little fair because the reason it was dangerous was not because they celebrated, let's pain the Jews. It was just like it was like a drunken time, and that was resolved.
Correct.
The holiday itself didn't have to do with.
Right. Okay. That could be. But at the end of the day, Jews were being killed on those days. So they had to stay away. Doesn't make a difference what the reasons were.
Jews have been killed on every day in the year.
That's true, but I think this was more of a chazaka. That it happens at the same time. Okay, so that's the explanation. Again, these are explanations offered working backwards that we have this practice. We're trying to figure out why we have this practice.
One other idea to do instead of learning Torah or praying is acts of kindness. That's more something.
Acts of kindness. You could do acts of kindness.
To counteract what they're doing and that they're not doing Torah. If you say, there's spiritual energy, okay? We can do spiritual energies and it's not connected to our Torah.
I want to just to have a little bit of a foil for our discussion. I don't mean to say that every Christian is a terrible person.
No.
I heard this from a very reliable source. Dr. Pelkovitz told me that I think it was his uncle who was very close with Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he said that he saw with his own eyes Rav Moshe Feinstein the morning of Christmas wishing people a Merry Christmas.
Huh?
Wishing non-Jews, wishing them a Merry Christmas. He said, you're not going to believe me. I'm telling you, this is what I saw. Again, this is a whole discussion of incident of Avodah Zarah. For us, it certainly would be. And do we believe in Jesus as a prophet? No. But at the same time, I don't think that means that Christianity in its own right doesn't bring about anything positive. There are positive things that a good Christian is someone who's kind, and a good Christian is someone who does believes in morals and ethics, and he does in some way believe in the Bible. There are fundamental differences between us and them, and I don't think that we can minimize that. But at the same time, I just want to say that point we believe they could achieve Olam Haba, even though many of them believe we cannot. The Rambam says they believe in Shev Mitzvot Noach, and they believe in that came from the Torah. They have a chilek on Olam Haba; they can get to the next world. But at the same time, we've suffered, and that's why. That's why many say that we did not learn Torah in those times because we wanted to stay out of harm's way. The Chasam Sofer has this ingenious explanation, which again you could take issue with, but he the Chasam Sofer is a definitely important source to reckon with. So he said again we can't appear any worse, but we have to make sure that we're not showing the significance of a day. The last explanation that I have here for the practice is the Kedushas Tzion, that he said that the founder of Christianity, Jesus, was a student of Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachya. And we want to make sure that even though he was a great Talmud Chacham and he was a great Torah scholar, we want to signify to people, we want to stress that even in spite of his considerable accomplishments in Torah study, you can still become someone who goes way off, you can still go beyond the pale. And we want to make sure that it's not just about Torah study. It's about our whole package. It's about who the person is. And therefore, we make a point of not studying Torah on that night to show that it's not just about the Torah we study. It's about the person we become. And you can become Jesus. You can start a new religion if you're not cognizant and careful and trying to be within the pale and within the realm of what's the proper and MS and the truth of what Hashem wants from us.
Do you know his Jewish name?
Yeshu.
I mean, they call him Yeshu. I don't know if his name. They say that Acher was maybe him, and Acher, was was Elisha Ben Avuya.
How do we know that he was...
There's different accounts, but he certainly was a great Torah scholar at some point. So we want to stress, according to this explanation, which is interesting, we want to stress that it's not just about the Torah, it's about what we do with it, and that's what we did not learn.
Where does this explanation get that he was a Sunnah for Yeshua and Prachim?
I think it's there are Gemaras about it.
There's a story of that the student came to Yeshua ben Prachya, and
Sanhedrin, I think. Yeah. Sanhedrin Kuf Zayin. That's what I have. You check it out. Kuf Zayin on Beis. Yes, go ahead.
He was going off Derek, but he was looking at doing one last try to come back. Then his teacher was saying Shema.
Oh, yes, and, yes.
And he was like, 1 second.
1 second, right, and then he was upset. Because
he thought it was like, go.
Right. Okay, so objections to this custom. In Eretz Yisrael, this custom was never accepted, never observed. Similarly, Sephardic communities never accepted this custom. Solomon could probably tell us. Now, what's the obvious reason for this? Probably, they didn't live in Christian countries from many of the Sephardic communities. Similarly, Jews who inhabited Eretz Yisrael were mostly Sephardic, or they were Talmidim of the Gra. And the Vilna Gaon was not in favor of this practice. But the point is that there are those that disagree. There are reports that Rav Chaim Kanievsky saw that the Chazan Ish would learn on Nitl Nacht, and he criticized those who did not learn. And he said that thankfully that this concern of Christian attacks, which is the main prevalent explanation that seemingly he held of, is not a concern for us anymore, and therefore we should learn. Similar reports about the Stipler that he used to learn. And I wanted to share with you one tshuva from Rav Sternbach, Rav Moshe Sternbach, in Tshuvas V'Hanhaga, source number 3. And he talks about this. He says, She'ela, Leil Nitl, Lelima Torah. The question was, what about learning Torah on the Leil of Nitl? Anche Lita, Lithuanian Jewry, Khan over here, Lo Shamu, She'asud Lama Leil Nitl. Lithuanian Jews, for the most part, never heard of such a prohibition not to learn on the night of the 25th of December. But the Hasidim, they have this practice. And this is for sure very significant among those circles. Rak nichliku bezeh hamanhigim hamanhagim, sorry. This is a dispute within practice. Yesh dogim b'leil nitl or le'asrim v'chamesh December. Some, even within the groups that do follow this approach, that they do observe this day, they don't learn on the night of the 25th. V'yish dogim b'sheish linor leil atikuva ukfi anito b'yevonim. I'm not sure what this is. B'sheish linor? What is it? I'm not sure what that is. Lianuar. The 6th of January? I don't know. Is that a significant day? 6th of January? I'm not sure.
I know there are three.
It's the day everybody day stops doing their things they said they would do in January.
Uh-huh. It's the day when the New Year's resolution wears off. He says, V'tam elu anogim, the reason for these people, she'oz mis'asvim yachil atoma. He's explaining the Kabbalistic approach. Now, this is the day that all the non-Jews gather together for a day of impurity. V'haklipos miskabrim. And the negative spiritual forces, the klipos, the shells, are getting stronger. V'nidbakim la'asuk b'kedusha. January 6th?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's January 6th.
A little
oh, wow, interesting. So
January 6th?
See, he knows more about Christianity than I do. They're getting together and they're coming against our forces of spirituality. Umidinasenu, and I think he was writing this at the time in South Africa. Rav Sternbach, a little interesting bit of information. Rav Moshe Sternbach, before he went to Eretz Yisrael, was actually a Rav in South Africa for many years. So he says that since today, ba'Anglia uba'America, lo adukim ba'avodah zarah, or I'm not sure, ba'alzeh, olachis bechatzos otum kimikodem, they're not so strict. Again, I did see them when I drove into the Heights. I did see them going to midnight mass. But according to Rav Moshe Sternbach, they're not so religious about it anymore. I don't know that many Christians who do it. I don't know that many Christians in general. But I never heard about this, so it could be it's just not such a thing.
But the thing of the clip, what I don't understand. Like, if you really want to, like,
you can learn Torah and fight it.
Fight
the klipos, I hear. I don't know.
Going to Mass is like the same as the Jews who go once a year to
Yom. Yes, it's like a Yom Kippur person, yeah. So they're not as strong in America and in England about this. The Midnight Mass is kind of dwindling. So therefore, Lakach Ein Kolkach Yisod La'asur B'Medinos Ha'elu U'Befrat Shegorim L'Bitul Torah. Since in our countries they're not so shtark, they're not so religious about this. So, in other words, it's not such a big deal, even within those who say you should practice it. And Lithuanian Jews generally, the Litvish Yidden, they don't generally do this. But even if you're a Hasidish, they say that this is not such a strict holiday for them. And especially because this is a Bittul Torah, and we know Talmud Torah, Kenegad Kulam, it's so important. He says we don't have to be so strict about this. He says another fascinating thing, which I'll just tell you outside. He said... This is interesting. It's similar to the Chasam Sofer, but a little different. He said he heard in the name of Rav Meir of Primishlan, that he used to be very happy on December 25th. Why? He used to be jumping for joy because he said on Rosh Hashanah, the entire world is judged. But what do the non-Jews say? They say, "Well, we didn't know we were being judged. That's only the Jewish holiday. We didn't know. We didn't know how to do tshuva and shape up." So. But he says on December 25th, when it's their holiday, and when they just get drunk and they party and they don't do, again, I'm not saying this is true for everybody, but for some people, they don't really act in a religious manner. So this Rav, he was extremely happy because it shows that their excuse that they didn't shape up for our judgment, which is really a judgment for everyone, is not a real good excuse, and that therefore it gives the Jewish people kind of an edge, and. And he was very happy on December 25th. Just to conclude, many Jews have observed Nitl Nacht for centuries, seemingly centuries. The custom is more complex, perplexing. It's more one of the more perplexing customs of the Jewish people. This is just kind of a scratch on the surface, and seemingly more prevalent in the Hasidic communities, and one could argue it's not even relevant within America, Europe, or Israel, because of the lack of anti-Semitism. Again, not saying there's none, but it's much less, and there is no danger of learning that night, and also that they're not as religious about midnight mass, and therefore we don't need to be worried about the klipos. Yes, Yechiel, you had a question.
Me?
Or Ellie? Someone had a... Okay.
I'll mention this. Every year.
Guys, don't forget Al Michio.
Most years, my dad would go and volunteer
at
a hospital because they hospitals and other places like that were usually less staffed because they didn't have anyone.
Oh wait, did I dive in? Yes, I dive in. I forgot. I can stay if you need me.
You are. I think we'll have
it. Forgot. I'm almost.